Chapter 6, Mina and Dracula. Mina Harker's Journal, 30th of September. Jonathan and I have come to Dr. Stewart's asylum to meet with everyone who has been involved with this horrible tale. Dr. Seward was shocked to learn from Jonathan that Dracula had bought the Carfax estate next to the asylum and has been so close all this time. For the past few days, Jonathan and I have been putting together all the information from everyone's diaries, notes and letters so that we shall all be well informed and can arrange our plan of battle with this terrible and mysterious enemy. After I had given copies to everyone, we all met in Dr. Seward's study, and Professor Van Helsing began to tell us more about Count Dracula.
All we have to go upon are traditions and superstitions, but this does not make us helpless. As we have seen, the vampire can take the shape of many things. He can be a wolf or bat, or even come in the form of mist. He has the strength of 20 men, and the knowledge of the centuries.
Van Helsing paused for a moment.
But he is not entirely free, either. He can only change form exactly at sunrise, noon, and sunset. Then there are things which make him powerless, such as garlic and the crucifix. We know that 50 boxes of dirt were delivered at Carfax from his castle. We also know that at least some of these boxes have been removed. It seems to me that our first step should be to see how many remain here, and then search for the others. Then we must sterilize the earth, so that he can no longer seek safety in it.
After the meeting was finished, they went off to Carfax to search for the boxes.
Jonathan Harker's Journal, 1st of October, 5 a.m. We went over to the house, taking care to stay in the shadows. When we got there, the professor opened his bag and took out many things.
My friends, we are going into terrible danger, and we need arms of many kinds.
As he spoke, he gave each of us a little silver crucifix, some garlic to put round our necks, a gun, and a knife. Lastly, he handed us each a little envelope containing pieces of sacred wafer.
The first thing is to see how many of the boxes are left, said the professor.
We must examine every hole and corner and see if we cannot get some clue as to what has happened to the rest.
There was no sign of the count, and a quick look around was enough to show how many boxes remained, for they were very large and easy to find. But, to our surprise, there were only 29 left out of the 50.
Dr. Seward's Diary, 3rd of October.
Late last night, the attendant came running into my room and told me that Reinfeld has somehow had an accident. He had heard him shout, and when he went to see what the problem was, Reinfeld was lying on the floor, all covered with blood and his back broken.
I ran off to see Reinfeld and told the attendant to get the professor at once. A few minutes later, Van Helsing arrived, and Arthur and Quincy came shortly after. Suddenly, Reinfeld opened his eyes and stared wildly around the room.
"Quick, doctor, I am dying. I have something that I must say before I die. Last night, he came up to the window in the mist. He began promising me things."
The patient went on without stopping.
He began to whisper, "Rats! Rats, rats, millions of them, and every one a life, and dogs to eat them, and cats too, all lives, all red blood, with years of life in it. Before I knew what I was doing, I found myself opening the window and saying to him, 'Come in, Lord and Master.'
His voice became weaker.
All day I waited to hear from him, but he did not send me anything. When he finally came in through the window, I got mad with him. He laughed at me, and then he went on as though I was no one. He didn't even smell the same as he went by me. I thought that somehow Mrs. Harker had come into the room.
The professor began to shake, but Reinfeld went on without noticing. When Mrs. Harker came in to see me this afternoon, she was much paler than before. It made me mad to know that he had been taking the life out of her. So when he came tonight, I was ready for him. As I saw the mist coming in, I grabbed it tight, for I didn't want him to take any more of her life. Then I saw his eyes. They burned into me, and my strength became like water. He raised me up and threw me down. There was a red cloud before me and a noise like thunder, and the mist went away under the door.
Van Helsing stood up. "He is here," he said. "It may not be too late." We all hurried to Mrs. Harker's room and threw ourselves against the door, which opened with a crash. What I saw shocked me, and my heart seemed to stand still. On the bed, beside the window, lay Jonathan Harker, his face white and breathing heavily, as if under some kind of spell. Kneeling on the edge of the bed was his wife, and by her stood the Count. With his left hand, he held both of Mrs. Harker's hands, and his right hand held her by the back of her neck, forcing her face down on his chest. Her white nightdress was covered in blood, and a thin stream ran down the Count's bare chest, which he had cut open and was forcing her to drink from. As we ran into the room, the Count turned his face, and his eyes flamed red with devilish passion. With a quick twist of his arm, he threw his victim back upon the bed and then jumped towards us. But by this time the professor was holding towards him the envelope which contained the sacred wafer. The Count suddenly stopped and backed away as we, lifting our crucifixes, advanced. It suddenly became dark as a great black cloud covered the room. When Quincy lit a match and we were able to see again, there was nothing but a thin mist going out under the door. Van Helsing, Arthur, and I moved forward to Mrs. Harker, who, by this time, was screaming loudly. Her face was horrifying, and from her throat dripped a thin stream of blood where the Count had bitten her. Her eyes were mad with terror. Then she put her face into her hands and began crying. "Unclean, unclean. He made me drink his blood. He said, I am now one with him and shall come to him whenever he calls. God pity me." Jonathan had by this time woken up from the spell the Count had put on him. But as Madame Mina explained more of what had happened, over his face came a grey look, which deepened and deepened as morning came, and his flesh stood out darkly against his whitening hair. Dr. Seward's diary, 3rd of October. We decided to go immediately to sterilise the earth in the boxes at Carfax and two other locations around London which Mr. Harker had discovered. As we were leaving, Van Helsing placed a piece of the sacred wafer upon Mrs. Mina's forehead in order to protect her while we were gone. As he did so, it burned into her flesh, as though it was a piece of white-hot metal, and has left a mark on her that reminds all of us that Mrs. Mina now has the blood of the Count within her veins and is slowly becoming like him.